Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. We got 25 minutes left, 24 and a half minutes left of this program. Thank you for joining us on this Monday, November the 6th, 2023. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl.
Good morning and good afternoon, depending on where you reside.
Got up this morning, did you, Steve, and said, I'm going full Johnny Cash.
That's right, because you're mine, I walk the line.
The black belt.
Yeah.
Are you a black belt?
I am today. Don't test me.
I just wanted to mention that, you know, we set our clocks back this past weekend.
Yes.
And it gave me an extra hour for unable to sleep.
Yes.
Ba-da-boom.
Yeah.
Oh, we got them. We got the one-liners coming here. I guess it's more than a one-liner there.
Had an extra hour where I was unable to sleep. That's right. I said it. Extra hour, folks.
My wife and I, Heather and I, went to the Mississippi State game over the weekend.
Ooh, that was ugly.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was.
Well, it was great if you were a Kentucky fan.
Well, yeah. Heather is friends with the gal that was the homecoming queen. So we...
That's looking at the bright side.
I know. Well, she's a Bama fan, too.
Wow.
No, your wife's an Alabama fan.
Yes. Well, she went to Mississippi State, though. She also went to State. She got her undergraduate in State, so she's kind of both. Played in the Maroon Band.
That's not what you've been saying.
You're telling me she went to Alabama and she went to Mississippi State and she got to choose which football team she supports.
That's right. And she does both.
Huh. Okay. I could see why she would. Be a Roll Tide right there.
Huh? Might be.
I tell you, one time I heard a person, I may have told y'all this before, but so speaking about being a fan,
yeah,
there are certain rules that you have to abide by to be accepted in fandom, right? Yeah. So there was this one, I didn't know this person personally, but I knew somebody who did know him personally, and it was a young lady, and she had lived in Alabama and she lived in Kentucky. And they said she football season, she was an Alabama fan. And basketball season, she changed her colors to blue. And she was a big blue fan.
Yeah.
Kentucky.
And I said, you can't do that. Disqualifying.
Yes.
Huh? You can't. No. Uh-uh. I don't accept that.
Right.
You know, as a fan. So, anyway, I guess that maybe she was also a New England Patriot fan who since left for the Kansas City Chiefs.
After Tom Brady.
It's nice to win all the time, every time, if you don't have any loyalty.
Yeah, my team. My team's win. Winning. Winning.
All right, Steve, what do you have? What's your first story?
All right. You guys familiar with the podcaster Steven Crowder?
Yes.
Yes.
Steven Crowder says, and he has pictures, that he has come up with the first or three of the pages of the manifesto from the Nashville school shooting.
He actually has that?
He has them, and I have them. So we can talk a little bit about this. It was Audrey Hale was the gal's name. She said she was a transgender guy, went by Aiden, but she didn't, I mean, everybody calls her Audrey anyway, but she went to Covenant School on March 27th. She was 28. She killed six before getting killed herself. And in her manifesto, I think the takeaway is that she's a white girl, but she was racist against white people. She was kind of brainwashed to be one of those. So she talks in her manifesto about crackers, talking about white people, people that go to fancy private schools with khakis and backpacks and your mop of yellow hair, and then your white privilege. She takes a shot at white privilege.
She went into this school and murdered these six people, and because she was a self, she was what would you call that?
Self-loathing white person.
Yeah. Yep.
Now this is the alleged manifesto, right? Do we know whether this is in fact the manifesto?
Well, Steven Crowder is fairly legitimate. I mean,
okay.
Well, she was whacked out.
And so she had three pages. The one page I showed you, or I quoted there, was her tirade about why she did it. But then she talked about, she called it Death Day. She says, today is the day. The day has finally come, exclamation point. I can't believe it's here. I don't know how I was able to get this far, but here I am. I'm a little nervous, but excited too. And it's just, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm ready. And then the third page, she has a calendar, an agenda with times. She's going to get up at 6:30. She's going to get dressed at 7. She's going to eat breakfast at 9. She's going to pack up, on down. She's going to load the guns. 12:05, she arrives in the dedicated parking spot. 12:37, she says, open fire. Time to die.
Now, she was shot and killed, right?
She was.
Yes. Yeah. I saw the video for that, and the police or the special unit that they had in there, boy, they were just precision.
Yeah. It was the anti-Texas, the Texas. Remember the Texas where they sat outside the...
Aleve?
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, all right, so that's the... you were reading from the...
The manifesto's handwritten page on note on ruled like school note liner,
right?
A book. So
it was three children. And three adults.
You're kind of after the fact. You're kind of like, what difference does it make?
Well, a lot of people were wondering. She was claiming to be transgender. Was it anger at Christians because it was a Christian school she shot up? It doesn't appear that religion, at least to these three pages, had a whole lot to do with it. But she was after white people.
Okay.
And so
even though she herself was white.
It doesn't exactly fit the BLM talking.
So you're
points.
Planning a mass murder by saying 9 o'clock, get breakfast.
Yeah. It's obviously disturbed.
That's weird. The whole thing is disturbing, mentally disturbed. Oh yeah.
And this was, you know, it does say, you know, white people, but it seems like she was eaten up with envy and jealousy because talking about the cars they drove and the clothes they wore.
She was jealous of people who went to a private school.
Yeah, and what they wore and what they drove and their haircuts.
To the point of murdering them?
That's why she was mentally disturbed emotionally. Or
she was, but at the same time, she had enough sense to plan everything out.
Yeah, so she wasn't insane.
Right.
And
there's a difference.
There is a difference. If you're, you know, clinically, I'm sure insane is not the clinical word, but if you are clinically diagnosed what I would call insane, too insane to stand trial, for example, it's because your insanity prevents you from living a lucid life. Well, someone like that who's planning and carrying out the plan is clearly lucid enough, not insane. When I say, you know.
In a generic sense, somebody who does that, we all would say that person's nuts.
Yes, that's
right. That's how we would describe it.
Right.
And that is true because that is a nutty, crazy, insane thing to do. But then you say, well, is that person insane? I would say no, because insane people don't do plotting and planning and thinking one, two, three, four, they go out and howl at the moon.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
And they don't even know if they're howling at the moon. They're just howling because they've gone crazy.
They're seeing things. They're hearing things that aren't there.
Right. Right. All right, Steve, next story.
All right. I know you guys were talking about the turmoil in the Democrat ticket, and is Joe Biden going to run or not? I don't know if you guys talked about the genesis of this, which was a New York Times poll, which found Donald Trump is leading in five of the six most important battleground states, and the one he's trailing, he's only trailing by 2 points. So
you're talking about in the New York Times.
This is New York Times Siena poll.
Yeah, that's got Democrats freaking out.
They are. He's up by 10 in Nevada. He's up by 5 in Arizona, by 4 in Pennsylvania. He's up by 6 in Georgia. He's up by 5 in Michigan, and he's down by 2, Trump is, in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, yeah.
A couple things there. That's good news for Donald Trump.
It is.
However, that same poll, the same people are asked if Mr. Trump is convicted of a felony or felonies, would you vote for him? And the independent voters at least said no, they would not. So, and I would say this, polls can change.
Yep.
That's not to take away from the truth of the polls. The polls show Biden is very weak and Trump is favored over him if the election were today in all those states. But I'm just saying if Trump gets convicted of a felony or felonies, then that whole poll changes is what I'm saying.
It does. There's a lot of time left. Polls a year out.
Which thus our roller coaster metaphor.
Yes.
Right.
I don't know if you heard that. Steve, it was brilliant.
I heard something about you being scared to be on a roller coaster now, but you were good when you were younger, right? Is
that when I was 15, I could ride a roller coaster all day, every day. It didn't bother me.
The point of the metaphor was this year a year from tomorrow and a year hence,
right,
election day is going to be like that moment when you're on a roller coaster.
The Screaming Eagle.
You get strapped in, the bar comes down and clicks,
right? Right.
And then you're going up that first incline and you start thinking, why am I doing this? This is crazy. Hence, that's what the next year is going to be like.
Yeah.
And anybody who says they can predict what's going to happen is a liar.
Well, I tell you, the other thing that's going to play into this is how this war in Israel plays out, because the Democrats find themselves in a very bad position. They're deeply, deeply divided over Israel versus, pro-Hamas, basically. Right. And according to Axios, which is a fairly liberal paper, the infighting is meaningful and is deep. They point out politics, in the schools, on campuses.
When you're accusing Biden and you're a Democrat and you're accusing him of supporting genocide, it doesn't get any more divisive than that.
Right.
That isn't a tax rate difference.
Huh? That's true. Those are things that good-natured people can disagree about. Yeah. But if you're supporting genocide, that's not there's no good point on that.
No.
Well, some of this Democrat division is coming from fairly high up. I want you to hear former President Barack Obama, what he said when he was addressing his foundation, a lot of young people in the room, and this is what he had to say. Cut four.
All of this is taking place against the backdrop of decades of failure to achieve a durable peace for both Israelis and Palestinians, one that is based on genuine security for Israel, a recognition of its right to exist, and a peace that is based on an end of the occupation and the creation of a viable state and self-determination for the Palestinian people.
Do you hear what he said? He called it an occupation, that Israel is occupying Palestinian land. Now, I don't know how you give up the occupation and get a secure peace. And I don't know how you have a secure peace with people who are trying to wipe you off the face of the earth and push you from the river to the sea.
Listen, that was naive at best.
I think it was disingenuous.
And I think that the former president knows better. But the fact of the matter is, the first part, what he said about based on a recognition of Israel's right to exist. That's lunacy. Hamas refuses to recognize it. Iran refuses to recognize it. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the Taliban, probably Saudi Arabia and all these other nations that are fairly friendly, Hezbollah. At least not hostile. Hezbollah, none of them, no true Muslim, I'm sorry, no true Muslim can ever agree with the statement that Israel has a right to that land. And President Obama knows it. So stop.
He's trying to play both sides of the, what do you call it, fence?
Yep.
He's trying to sort of.
He wants Israel to declare a ceasefire and work on a two-state solution, which Israel had agreed to on a number of occasions, and the Palestinian Liberation Organization and other groups said no.
Right. And what is Obama calling, what is he calling for Hamas to do?
Recognize Israel.
He wants.
But stop firing rockets into
cease
Israel.
Cease fire. No one seems to recognize. I think you guys might have mentioned there was a ceasefire in effect on
right.
October 7th.
Yeah,
right. Well, listen, what Obama is saying is, I'm with you, disingenuous. He knows this isn't going to happen because the Muslims despise the fact that Israel exists.
Right.
And they won't allow it. And Israel right now is fighting for its life.
Right.
And that's they are going to do it. And the other nations around Israel where the leaders are thinking clearly, Assad in Syria and so on and so forth, Jordan and Saudi Arabia, they know that to invade Israel is to invite nuclear holocaust.
Yeah.
Because that's Israel has a plan in place. This is what I've read for decades, that if they are threatened with extermination as a state, they're not going through the Holocaust again.
Right.
And they're taking the Muslim countries with them. And right-thinking, logical people who run these Muslim countries, Muslim-majority countries, they know it. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
I think you just described the final battle in the Book of Revelation.
Oh, yeah. Or Ezekiel 38, 39. Take your pick.
Yeah. Hey, did you guys, we still have a boycott of Target going on here at
AFA? Yes, we do.
It's eternal.
Well, at least until they decide to be honest and fess up. The CEO of Target, his name is Brian Cornell, and he was on CNBC, and the person on CNBC said, this Becky Quick, she told Cornell that people felt that there were transgender bathing suits that are being targeted and marketed to kids, and that people are upset because Target worked with a designer who was a devil worshiper, to which Cornell responded, "You and I both know those weren't true, except they were." I don't know how he thinks he can get away with, I guess if you say it often enough, maybe I didn't see the interview, so I don't know if CNBC pushback. CNBC is not as quite as left leaning as NBC is, but of course, who is?
Right. Well, that is either a blatant lie or he's twisting words. You know, the fact of the matter is that Target worked with a company in the UK, Ab Prahlin for Pride. Ab Prahlin during Pride Month, and Eric Carnell, who ran that business, had satanic themed merchandise.
Not at Target,
but like a lot of these big stores, they in Walmart even, they work with companies from around, and you just order through their company, but the product comes from someone else. And Eric Carnell had, satanic-themed stuff. He said, for example, Satan accepts pronouns or something like that.
Loves pronouns.
Loves pronouns. Yeah. So So it's twisting words for Brian Cornell to say, no, we didn't sell satanic stuff. We, you know, if you asked him, he'd probably say, we don't even believe in the devil. But the facts are they were selling and working with a company that did.
Well, they do believe in the devil. He lives in Arkansas.
He lives in Arkansas?
Really? I thought he came down to Georgia looking for a soul steal.
Who's Target's chief rival?
Oh,
Walmart.
Oh, Walmart. There you go. Now
see,
I get it.
See what I said?
I see what you did. Yeah.
I see what you did there, too.
All right, story.
All right.
Is Kim Reynolds, governor of Iowa, going to endorse Governor DeSantis today?
Word is that she is going to.
That's what
the report
is. We haven't
got definitive word that she has yet, but that's the rumor. That's what is being put out by Trump's people anyway.
Well, that would be some much-needed good news for Governor DeSantis, who's been trailing, as have all the other Republican candidates, been trailing Donald Trump by substantial.
Is he basically tied with Nikki Haley, former governor?
I think
governor
so. It depends
South
on
Carolina.
What state you look at. But Trump is ahead in the polls. Trump is way ahead in every state I've seen. But of course, the real poll is Election Day, right?
Right. Right.
And Iowa is a little bit. It is different because it's a caucus state, not a popular vote state. So you may remember Senator Ted Cruz. He won Iowa.
Yeah.
He eventually lost the nomination to Donald Trump,
right,
back in 2016 or whenever it was. But anyway, I just saw where Governor Reynolds, the governor of Iowa, was going to endorse Governor DeSantis today. Whether that will make any difference or not, I guess time will tell. But
and the way that
if you're DeSantis
works,
or Nikki Haley in particular, you need any good news you could get right
yes,
now.
Yes, you need a boost. But the way the caucus system works in Iowa and probably anywhere else you have caucuses is that you gather at your local meeting place and you argue. You try to convince people to support a particular candidate. So you could have fluid beliefs in a state like Iowa. And so an endorsement from the governor would carry weight.
She's very popular
yep.
in the state. Trump said about this, if and when Kim Reynolds of Iowa endorses Ron DeSanctimonious, who is absolutely dying in the polls, both in Iowa and nationwide, it will be the end of her political career.
Really? Trump said that? I'm shocked.
Yes. Yes. He calls her disloyal. He says that.
Has she got a nickname yet?
Kim Reynolds, maybe today. But basically, Trump said she owes her political career to him, Trump, as does DeSanctimonious, and both of them are very disloyal. So that's his position on that situation. Again, as I've said before, as far ahead as Trump is in the polls on the Republican side, I do not for the life of me know why he doesn't. Why he wants to continue to belittle fellow Republicans by calling like Nikki Haley bird brain over and over again.
I don't think he can help it.
Well, he should be able to help it because he needs those people to come together to support him. In the end, he'll need every Republican vote he can get, right?
Right.
So why do you want to spend your time personally attacking and belittling people you're going to need to support you in the end? That's my head scratcher, I guess
I agree.
You could say.
I agree.
All right. Well, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Keep listening to American Family Radio, and we will see you back here tomorrow.